middle of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And Paul's the kind of guy that his job is to be an evangelist. He sows the word. He wants to get people saved. And so now he's getting reports back from these churches about things that aren't right. You know, listen, where there's anything good, isn't there always going to be somebody who's going to come in and try to mess it up, get a part of it? So he's letting them know, hey, there's some trouble going on. So he goes basically back to the Corinthians, then Timothy, he's sending him to Ephesus, and then Titus, he comes in and says, hey, I want you to go meet with the Cretes, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But here's the thing. We do know that Titus was saved, brought to the full knowledge of Jesus under the leadership of Paul. We know that from this teaching in Titus 1. And not only do we know that, but we know that verse 4 tells us that they shared a common faith. That means that they believed the same way. And surely Paul has told Titus about being struck blind in the natural so his spiritual eyes could be opened. He knew about that firsthand. Surely he's seen miracles and other things happen. But even Jesus told us that people won't believe just because they've seen miracles. You're going to have to believe with your heart and not with your eyes, because that's faith. Faith isn't in the eyes. Faith's in the heart. It's in the mind, believing. So Paul tells him, hey, even chapter 1 actually calls the people from Crete prophets, but the true definition, the true meaning of that word is more like philosophers, because Paul was raised with the teachings of, you know, Plato and Socrates and all these things, so he knew it. But he said, hey, even the people from Crete will tell you that Cretes are liars, thieves, perverts, they're selfish and they're proud, and on top of all that, they're just mean. Well, Titus knew that because he was a Crete. He was from that island. So Paul's sending him back, and he's telling him, hey, there's two problems here. One, I need you to set the church in order, and two, I need you to ordain some elders or leaders over it. Now, a lot of people are going to get hung up in this particular passage on what elders are and are not to do. But I got a little clue for you tonight. If you don't live by a list, if you live by a love relationship, you don't need a list, okay? And we're not going to go into a list, because what I found with the list is we start measuring people up to it, and we're going to let him measure us up. Here's the deal. If I'm in a love relationship, even before I'm married, you want to do everything you can do to please him. Oh, y'all, come on. Shauna, you remember that day back in college. You know what that was like, right? I know y'all are thinking about it. Pete, Anna, come on. Yeah, you're yet to find it, Maddie, but let me just tell you, your mom and your dad can tell you about it. And here's the thing, the reason I'm using that analogy is because when you are in love, when you're pursuing that relationship, you're not going to do stupid, right? And that's the thing with him. If I love him and I pursue him and I spend time with him, whether that's through his word or through prayer, I'm going to know immediately if something is going to prosper or if something's not right. Okay? So, but here's the thing. Titus, and he's telling him, I want you to go to Crete and set him in order. Well, he could have said, you know what, I'm too young. Or I'm not that experienced in the Lord. He could have said, I'm shy. You know, I shouldn't. Or, hey, they're a lot older than me. They're probably not going to listen to me. Or he might have even said, you know, how do you know that they're going to respect me without you being there? But he didn't. He went. And here's the thing. He could have said, hey, I didn't ask for this. Anybody in here been serving the Lord and you had a hard thing to go through and you didn't ask for it? Raise your hand. Right? That's what I want to talk about tonight. And I want to say before I forget it, Eric, so good to see you up there tonight playing, using your gift. More people do that. It's amazing. But I want to tell you, Titus had a relationship with Paul, so he didn't misunderstand. He knew. That's why he wasn't like, well, I didn't ask for this. And I wonder if sometimes some of us don't misunderstand what it means to be a believer. Because there's a lot of people in this world who are going to tell you, well, I believe in him. I'm good. I don't need to go to church. I don't need all that, you know, Jesus stuff. I'm good. But really, they're not, because without him, there's no peace. And they misunderstand what it means. I'll just share this little story. This, some of you may have seen it. Tiffany sent this to me. You know, she's a policeman. So they're driving in the car, and Gemma, who's four, is in the back seat, and Eli's sitting, and, you know, Eli's 10. So they're riding, and Eli says, Mom, have you ever killed anybody? And she says, no, I haven't. And he said, well, have you ever tased anybody? And she said, yes, several. So Jim is in the back seat, and she said, well, Mom, did you ever eat anybody? She's like, no. She goes, so you didn't eat them, but did you just taste them? Because she misunderstood the word tase for taste. So Eli and Tiffany are just, you know, and she's just this, oh, well, you know, she's going to be an adult. And I know that's funny, but sometimes I think that's what people hear when they say, do you believe? We think, oh, I believe. I'm check. Got my ticket. Listen, serving him is not about a ticket to heaven any more than marrying somebody is a guarantee that you're never going to have trouble. You with me? So tonight I want to explain this to you. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Have you ever asked God to draw you closer to him or serve him better or more? Have you ever done that?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Paul is coming in and telling Titus, hey, there's some people that I want you to know are saying this, but they're actually out for themselves in the church. And he tells them, he says, they're false ones. They're out to gain acceptance, and they don't want to give up control. And he tells them, they're people who are out to gain monetary things. They're out to gain acceptance. They're out to gain influence. And they're out to gain more notoriety. You know, a little bit of, ooh, you know, look what they do in the church. That's what they're there for. And he's telling him, you and I know that's not it. So, man, he's like, he didn't argue. He went. But I want you to know the people who have known God's peace, who have known a true experience with God, and who don't follow after him, like pursue that, are the most miserable people. Because if you're not going to let him be the one who's going to give you peace, and listen, I feel sorry for him. I'm not passing judgment. I'm just telling you, I've picked up the empty shells of enough people to tell you, if you're not going to do it God's way, you're going to drink to get your little buzz so you can keep happy. You're going to take drugs so you don't have to deal with anything, you know. Let me just have a little smoke over here and everything will, you know, I just need it once or twice a week. No, what you're saying is God's not enough. And then you have to do more and more, whether it's porn, whatever the it is. You're miserable because you can't have peace when you need it. And so you have to do something to keep that peace. It can be as simple as somebody that's so caught up in movies. You know, they just go home and blitz their mind out on movies or live to go to the theater. Is that inherently wrong? No. But I'm telling you, it's not the thing that's going to bring peace. That's relationship. Have you ever refused to do what your employer told you to do on a daily basis? Some of you are like, ooh, don't look at me in the eye. Well, here's the thing. I worked at a cafeteria one time, and we had to wear hairnets. And I didn't like it, but I didn't grumble, okay, but I listened to the grumbling, and I was glad the other people were grumbling, even though I didn't do it, right? But I did it because I wanted that paycheck. I cleaned houses, and I cleaned houses for some women who were on the biggest power trips, I can tell you. I cleaned this one lady's house with a knife and a rag and got all the junk off her floor, and she came back in and said, you've missed several spots. You're going to need to redo this whole floor. I won't give you your money. And I want to tell you, I got back down on my knees, and I re-cleaned that floor just with water and whatever, and I never said a word because I needed that money. I didn't go back to her, but I did what was needed. Are you with me on it? So there are times where I'm watching people that come late, people that leave early. I worked this one place, and if it was 4:45, they were closing up everything. They had their desk cleaned off within 5 minutes because we get to leave at 5. And so to make a point, you know, I would come early and I would stay late. And at 5, I'd say, oh, it's 5. I need to close up work now to let them know. Because here's the thing. Even, let's just say it was, you know, 10 minutes a day that they were coming on time, but just 10, that's 50 minutes a week that our employer was being cheated out of what he was paying them. And I just thought, you know, even if it's an hour a week total, that's how many weeks are in a year, friends? Oh, you're so smart. 52. And so how many hours of work? That's more than a week. They're being cheated, right? So, man, I would just do whatever. Well, I want to tell you, and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, I didn't do it because I wanted to show me or show them up. I did it because I honestly loved God, and I felt God said, don't do that. Well, it came time to promote, and I was the youngest one in the group, and they promoted me over all these other older women. And there were two men in the group, and nobody liked it. And I didn't ask for it. It was pretty much a burden once I got it. But I knew why I had been promoted, because somebody was watching that work ethic, but I was blessed financially for it, okay? So sometimes we can grumble against it, but the truth is, all the more we should look for those things that are going to show who Christ is in our life. Because we're going to get it wrong. That's not a pressure to be perfect. That's the pressure to say, hey, you know what? I realize that I've been, you know, checking out my brain 15 minutes early every day. I just want you to know I'm going to be more cognizant of that time. And I just want you to know I'm sorry, whether they noticed it or not. Because you're either looking for the reason to excel or you're looking for a reason to slide. Pretty simple. But there you go. And here's the thing. The enemy wants us to question God's place of employment in our life. And here's the things that I see that he'll do. This is how he did it with Eve. Guys, it's the same thing. You'll hear, as I'm naming these, just three things. You'll hear how he tries to trick you and me and tempt us, because we all are. The first thing he's going to do, trick number one, is to get you to question God. If the Word says nothing's impossible to God, if the Word says his love never fails, if the Word says that he'll never leave you or forsake you, that's trick number one. He's going to get you to question God. The second thing he'll do is to get you to question, well, did God really say that? Like, did he really say, you know, go to church? Did he really say that? Yeah. Did he really say you should give sacrificially? Yeah. But he'll get you to question that. And the third thing he'll do is he'll get you to question if God cares. Well, here I am in the middle of this mess. Where's God? Does he care about you? Are any of these sounding familiar? Same thing he did with Eve. Did God say, well, don't you think he just was afraid you were going to know as much as him? If he cared, yeah, same old things. So we're not going to fall for them. Tonight, we're going to recognize 5 lies. And if you have notes, I want you to get a pen out, because we're going to do something at the end of this. And the notes tonight are on your front and back of your paper. Normally, they're just the front. But we're going to share the lie. Then I'm going to talk with you about some scriptures to overcome it. I'm going to tell you the truth. And then there's even extra scriptures for those of you who want to write these words out later. Go back and you need one help with one of these. You're going to have it. So the first lie I see is I'm helpless in this situation. You don't understand, Gate. Let's just pull one out of the air, okay? You don't understand. I'm already working full time. I can't make any more money. It's not going to happen. I am going down. I'm not going to have, you don't know. Maybe you're like June and you're going to pick the trash up off the street and get a lottery ticket and take it to the gas station and just see what it's worth and $300 come out of it. That happened to her. Okay? So we don't know. But the lie is, I'm helpless in this situation. Guys, the truth is, this situation that you're and I are in will end. And God will never leave us. He's never going to abandon me. While I'm enduring this hardship, His help is always only a prayer away. He's going to do it. I've got some scriptures for you. Psalms 89:21 says, I will steady him with my hand and with my powerful arm. I will make him strong. That's talking about you and me. Here's Philippians 4:13. I bet most of you can quote it. I gave it to you out of the New Living. But you would know it as, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This says, I will have strength for all things in him that gives me power. Let's move to lie number two. I just can't take any more. Well, here's the truth. The truth is, whatever my circumstances or situation, God knows, God cares, and His grace is sufficient to supply all I need. Well, Mother Teresa had a great quote. She said, God will never give you more than you can bear. I just wish you didn't trust me so much. Yeah? But here's some scriptures on that. Philippians 2:13, God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases Him. So He's in you. He's going to help you. Look at Psalms 41:10. This is in the Passion Translation. So, Lord, please don't desert me when I need you. Give me grace and get me back on my feet so I can triumph over them all. Whatever your all is. And then I have more scriptures for you on those notes. Lie number three, I can't do what God is asking. Okay? How many of you have ever done stuff that you didn't know was possible to do? Yeah. How many of you had babies and you changed the first horrible diaper? With me? Yeah. Jasmine, it's still real, isn't it, honey? Sorry. I'll never forget. I came home one day. Bernice and I, Steve's mom, had gone out shopping. And it was a rare time. Steve literally would not watch them when they were little. Now, that he'll admit it. And if he doesn't, come talk to me. But I had left. He said he would watch Leah and Charity. Now, Charity was 3 years older than Leah. When she was 3 years old, she was really 6 or 7. True story. But I come home, and Steve is in the floor, and Leah, who's like 6 months old, so Charity was closer to 4, she's laying on the floor, and he's got her on a towel, and it's bad, like you can smell it at the front door. And so Charity is standing over and patting him on the back, because he's on his knees going, and she's patting him, and then with one hand, she's holding his nose, and she's going, Dad, you're doing a great job. Dad, you can do this. Good job, Dad. And he's like, no. Yeah, true story. But he did it. And I stayed at the door till he finished. Okay, I did not rescue him. And after that, I was like, honey, I know you. He's like, no, can't ever do it again, you know. But listen, there's been some situations you get into and you don't think you can handle it, but you can. Now, I don't want to embarrass you or hurt your feelings, Lois, but I'm telling you, if anybody in this room could say, I've just had more than I could take, I would believe it would be you, Lois. You've lost 3 children within your lifetime, tragically. And yet you still care for your extended family. And I'm just looking at that, and I'm just saying, Lois and I were just talking about this tonight. There's nobody in this room who's had it worse than the next person. Nobody. Is there anybody in this room who's never hurt? You've never been hurt. You've never experienced pain and anguish. No. We all have. And that's the thing about this, guys. The enemy is lying, and he wants you to see, you know, I can't do what God's asking, but there's a thing that happens in you, and, you know, you can call it endorphins. You can call it, you know, you have this burst of energy, you know, and they can lift Volkswagen cars, you know. They get this certain amount of stuff, you know, that comes over them. But the truth is, there's going to be something that can happen. And if you say, I can't do it, I'm guaranteeing you, you won't. But if you say, you know what, I can do this. Sometimes just out of sheer frustration, Annette, don't laugh. But out of sheer frustration, sometimes I'm like, hey, I'll do it. Give it to me. Because I just, listen, things are doable with God. Here's the word on it. Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. His right hand represents what? You know it, Wednesday night. Right represents authority. And he has all authority over heaven and earth. The enemy has a lease that is running out. But if God says no, it's not going to happen. Okay? Then I gave you Psalms 121:2. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And then there's so many more. Isaiah 8:10. And you have these scriptures on your notes. But the truth is, I can do all things with God helping me. And the truth is, I can do whatever he asks me to do. The thing is, guys, here's something to just plant this in your mind, okay? Because you know that God will only lead you with peace. There's sometimes you think, well, I can do that. But you're doing it because you want to please people, not because you want to please God. So if you're looking at a group of people and you're thinking, oh, well, you know, I'll just do it. You may be keeping them from a blessing and from maturing and growing up. So don't just do something because you want to please people. You know, listen, can we be honest? You know if God is wanting you to do something or not. Because you, a lot of times you'll be like, you're going to make me do that, aren't you? Or that's me. And I'll just go ahead and do it. You know, I've always told you, you know, if there's a shark, just stick your head in his mouth and get it over with. You know, let's just cut to the chase here. But we can do these things. So you're not misunderstanding. Titus didn't misunderstand. But you may be looking, let's look at the fourth lie. It's on the back of your paper. I shouldn't have to endure this and suffer. You ever feel that? I shouldn't have to endure this and go through this. Well, here's the truth, guys. We don't know Jesus is in us. We don't know the Word alive to become intimate until we go to some dark places. And the truth is, without experiencing trials and tribulations, we're not ever going to appreciate true joy and the absence. There's a little saying that says this, that true joy is not the absence of pain, but it's the presence of Jesus in the midst of your pain. So that's the truth. Well, here's the thing. Well, you know, you said we're going to study five lies, and I only see four up there, and there's only four on my paper. That's because the title of tonight's sermon is The Fifth Lie. I didn't ask for this. Oh, I didn't ask for that. Well, when I got married, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't ask for this. Let me just explain this to you. Every life that surrenders their hearts to God and makes Jesus, the Lord, the employer, and the Holy Spirit is our counsel and guide, we receive that. You will indeed ask for this. Because the Holy Spirit is only going to intercede and speak what the Father's saying. He's only going to allow things to happen to you that he knows is going to cause you to grow. Now, you know, well, I don't understand, you know, this person was raped. You know, that person, you know, they had to experience this horrible thing that went on, you know, or they married somebody who was a murderer. And listen, I don't care what it is. Well, that seems really harsh. Let me tell you something. If Joyce Meyer can have her testimony, none of us have an excuse of a father who molested her from the time she was little, who would give her to policemen so they wouldn't give him tickets in the back seat of a car. Come on. You with me? Those things take us into such an intimate place that if we're willing to let God, because I'm not living for this world. So on your paper, I hope you have a pen or pencil tonight, and I want you to go down each one of these lies because there's a common denominator. Anybody see it right off the bat? Thank you. See, I'm talking to a smart group. Y'all ain't got no excuse now. You already answered. The common denominator is I. I want you to circle that I because that's the thing you have to look out for. My reasoning, my understanding, my thoughts, whatever I do. I've told you this before. The only way you're going to get better instead of bitter is when I get out and he gets in, right? So I've got to stay focused on him. I have to focus on Jesus, not focus on me. Focus on what God's already accomplished, what he's promised me he's going to do. You're only going to know that from the word, but when I focus on that and not on the situation, I can be at peace. Guys, I can even laugh at some stuff. I can even go to the bathroom in the middle of the day and go, God, I don't know how. This is going to be one ride you're taking me on. But I'm telling you now, I'm going to trust you. And here's some ways to do it. Even when you're in the middle of it. To focus on him instead of focusing on me, I'm going to give you five little principles. They're real quick. Number one is, you need to pray. Prayer is just what I just told you. God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I'm trusting you. I want you to see that, you know, I'm so focused on that. I need you to give me some hope because I feel like I've fallen for every trick of the devil right now. I'm in fear. I'm in doubt. I'm in self-condemnation. Just tell him. Tell him what it is. Then what I want you to do, if you believe his word, then I want you to speak out what you believe. Well, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but God, I surely do know. I know that when my son was in neonatal intensive care, that I called out to you and you saved his life. And God, I know when my son's finger was cut, God, I know that was you that delivered me and saved me and kept me from losing my mind and walking in guilt, shame, and condemnation. Are you hearing me? Because you forget to be grateful for those things because you're letting life take you away from God and you get in the boat of what's happening, and I need to be in the boat of who's happening. All right? So that's the second thing. And the reason I say you need to speak his word is because hearing helps you. And if nobody else has given it to you, give it to yourself. He's no respecter of persons, Gay. He's not going to stop this just because you did this. He's no respecter of persons. Gay, he pursues you. He pursues you with goodness and mercy. Don't look for the thing that's trying to devour you. You know by his word. Girl, you know that's not him. Come out of that. It helps. And then the third thing is that we need to choose not to fear. Greatest weapons of the enemy, fear, doubt, and hopelessness. Well, right now we're seeing an outpouring of hatred, but it's based on fear and doubt and hopelessness. Because if you don't believe that there's hope, you're going to take it out on somebody. It's just human nature. So choose not to fear. The fourth thing is you got to let go of control. Now, this is harder for some of us than others, but you need to let go of control. Because if you're the one driving, guess who's not? I need to let go of control. And the best advice I can give you is you just go to bed tonight. If you're in that freak out place, you go to bed tonight and you say, God, I'm going in here. I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to believe the word that was spoken tonight. I'm going to believe, God, that you are who you say you are. And God, I didn't ask for this, but you're giving me this assignment. I'm your girl. I'm your guy. I'm the one. So I'm going to go to sleep and you take care of this. I'm going to be the one that climbs up in the boat with you, Jesus. I don't see how we're ever going to bridge this gap of hatred and disunity in our nation. But God, I'm going to sleep tonight because you're on the throne and I want you to take care of it. And the other thing is, we need to watch God work. Be looking for what God's going to do in your life. Guys, tonight, you're not hearing this word by chance. Tonight, you're hearing this word because you need and I need to begin to watch God work and do some amazing things because he wants to. So, focus on me. I. Focus on him. He is the one shining in the darkness. Boy, I'm telling you, isn't there such a difference even in the atmosphere of those words, of saying that? Because if it's up to me, I know I'm sunk. It's got to be him. And so let me ask you this. Have you ever thought that every trial is an opportunity to draw closer, trust him, and serve him better and more? Have you ever? Because that's exactly what's happening. Elizabeth Elliot, whose husband Jim Elliot, some of you may remember, the Inca Indians brutally murdered him. And here she is with a baby, and her husband's been murdered, and this was before cell phones, okay? This was before I can get help right away. And yet she trusted God and actually wanted to go back and serve those people who had murdered her husband. And that was the testimony that brought them to Jesus. Because it wasn't in them to do it for someone else who had done that to them. And not only that, but she decides not to remarry. You know, she didn't want to remarry. And later in life, she decided she was going to marry this man who was the president of this Bible school. And he was older and she was older. And she thought, well, okay, so she marries him. Within 18 months, he gets a diagnosis of cancer, and she's taking care of him in a horrible situation until he dies. And Elizabeth Elliot said this, "When I imagine what I want to learn to love God and to love my husband and others whom God has given me to love, let me test the desire of my willingness to accept trial and grief. If I can welcome them, yes, Lord, and believe God's purpose in them, I'm learning a lesson of love. But if I cannot, I can't see because I'm crying, I'm sorry. But if I cannot, it's a fair indication that my desire to love is a delusion." Anybody in here marry or fall in love with someone because you believe they're going to solve everything for you? That's a delusion. I recognize that there are people that I'm going to love, and it's going to cost me something physically. It's going to cost me something spiritually. But I want to tell you something. I'm never going to be indebted to God. He's going to take care of me when I take care of other people. There's not any balance sheet in heaven where you're a liability and then you're an asset, and he measures out the books in the end of the month, and he finds out which one you are. Because every account we have is written in red, and that's not in debt, it's paid in full. Who's with me tonight? Amen. There's another saying that she has that I just love. She said, "God has promised to supply all our needs. What we don't have now, we don't need now." And boy, when do we get in trouble? I need it. And if you're driven by that thing, then you're not being led by the Spirit of God. So here's my final thought for tonight. Paul and Titus had a common faith, and the common faith was, here's a need, let's do it. Here's a need. You do this. You do that. You do this. And God will supply the need. He will supply what you need. There are gifts and talents that are locked up inside of you, and until you face those trials and temptations, how will you even know what some of those gifts and talents are? There's all of you have made something out of nothing. A lot of us have MacGyvered, I'll make it a verb, have MacGyvered things with paper clips and staples and You know, I can't tell you how many hems have come out of my skirt or my pants, and I've taken a stapler to the underside of it and made it work because I was at the office, right? You know, you're working with something and you can't find a screwdriver and you get out a dime and, you know, you just figure it out. You don't have anything for supper and you go in there and there's a, you know, an old half of a loaf of, you know, garlic bread and you take that thing out and you got a little bit of tuna and you just like, okay, we're going to have tuna on this side and we're going to have grilled cheese on this side. Kids, you want tuna or grilled cheese tonight, right? Because you can make something out of nothing when the Spirit of God is in you. He gives you insights, ideas, innovations. You can do this. And so the truth of it is, I need to have as much faith in God as He has in the completed work of Jesus in me. You need to have as much faith in God as He has in you that you can go through something and not be destroyed. God can stop it in the middle of it. He can stop horrible things. I've seen Him do it. But I want to tell you, the more I go through things and I don't welcome them and I don't ask Him for them, no, I'm not going to act like I'm brave because I'm a chicken. I'm like, God, please don't let anything bad happen this week. Please, God, don't. I mean, you know, I do. But the truth is, that's where I know Him. That's where I can hear Him breathing over me. That's when I know that there's something that's going to happen for me that He's going to do in a way that nobody else can do. And once I'm that dependent on Him and I go to that trust level, then I understand it wasn't His meanness, it was His mercy that led me to that, because He's going to bring me through it. And I'm going to trust Him more. Is God asking you to do something that seems too hard, unfair, or out of your league or your abilities? I want us tonight to say, God, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna listen to that word. I'm just gonna put it out there, God. I want to have the same trust level that You have in me. I want to have that same trust level for You. I want to go to that place with You, God. Because I'm telling you, your coworkers, your friends, your girlfriends, your man friends, whoever it is, they're going to tell you why something isn't going to work. They're going to tell you what you deserve and how you're not getting it. You know why? Because they're miserable and they want you to be miserable with them. Why? We just need to go to happy hour. Come on. Let's solve it. Right? Guys, my deal is this. If I keep numbing myself with worldly answers, how will I ever experience heavens? I got to trust Him. People are going to tell, oh, that they know good for you. Look at what they do for you. Why they blah, 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 your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Let God tell you about that. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you get in covenant, when you sign that contract, when you say, God, I'm going to stick with this, miracles can happen. And the miracle is always going to start with M-E. All right? I think that a human being, you know, we're human beings, that's salvation. I'm saved. I'm a human being. But discipleship is human doing. I'm not just in a relationship with Him and married and I quit. I just sit down and go, okay, now you're God, you take over and I'm going to heaven and, you know, you're going to love me and so here's the deal. Take over. I'm going to get in agreement. I had to be in agreement with Steve that I was going to work and help because what we did in the ministry wasn't paying the bills. So I'm going to work. I'm going to do it. I want to tell you, it wasn't fun babysitting other people's kids, but I did it. And I did it to the best of my ability. And I want you to know, I'm not making this up. A woman had an ad in the paper in Manhattan Beach that she needed a fairy godmother for her kids. So I answered the ad. She was a Jewish lady. She worked in the library in Los Angeles. And I never knew all this. I didn't know a lot about her. I just answered it. We knew. We lived in the fellowship hall at the church. And that lady, because of how my three kids acted during the interview, she told me later, was the reason she needed me because her kids were out of control. And boy, I didn't enjoy out of control kids because I had mine in control. You with me? And they were somebody else's. But I loved those kids. And I'd bring that little bitty one up into my lap when he'd act up, and I'd just love on him, and I'd say, you know, it's going to be okay, but you're not going to act like that over here. We're not going to have that, okay? When you're done acting up, you just let me know, and then we're going to get up, and we're going to go in the kitchen, and you're going to help me wash dishes. You're going to stand in the chair beside me and help me. And that little boy just blossomed. And the older one, we would just tell jokes, and we'd laugh, and you know, when I found out they were Jewish, I put the menorah up at Christmas because, listen, it's the same God, right? But there's baby Jesus in the manger, too. And I found recipes for how to make certain things for, you know, Hanukkah, and I'd give her, hey, I found this. She went, really, really? In our church, we were so poor living in the fellowship hall, and she didn't mind driving those kids up when she lived in a beautiful home in Manhattan Beach. Look it up, the home of many movie stars and producers. But I want to tell you what happened. One day she came in to me and she said, I'm a little hurt. And I said, well, what's happened? She said, well, my boys were sick. And she said, the youngest one begged me to bring him to your house so you could rock him. And she said, it kind of hurt me. But then I had to realize that that was a good thing, that he had somebody to do that for him. And she said, you know, they talk about what you do and how you do, and I feel really guilty about it. I said, well, don't, because God put me in your life so we could help each other. And you're helping me, and I'm so grateful. And I want to tell you guys, that was in the early 80s, and that lady paid me $20 an hour to take care of her kids, and we needed it. But I want you to know, at first, I was like, I can't do this. They're rowdy. You can do it. And God is putting some rowdy, I don't want to do this things in your life, because he's going to bring a blessing to you through it. And if nothing else, you're going to know how to hear his voice, and you're going to stay close to it. And guys, it's not going to stop with you. I'm telling you, listen to me. It is not too late, however old you are, to be the example that's needed. Oh, it's easy for us to look at Eric and Jasmine and go, oh, little Lily, you know, you're raising her right. Keep doing these things. Don't give up, you know, whatever. But listen, some of you think that you're responsible for where your kids are. Let me tell you, one, they're adults. And let me tell you, two, you're not greater than the power of Jesus Christ. And he can change these things, and he will. And you need to forgive yourself. Because the devil's holding it over your head. And you need to know that God is a redeemer, is a redeemer, is a redeemer, is a redeemer. Say it with me.
Is a redeemer.
And that includes you and me. So tonight, we're not buying into the lies. There's a lot of things I don't think I asked for. But there's a lot of things I'm grateful that he trusted me enough to give me. I want to share this little poem with you. It's called The Oak Tree. A mighty wind blew night and day. It stole the oak tree's leaves away, then snapped its boughs and pulled its bark until the tree was tired and stark. But still the oak tree held its ground while other trees felled all around. The weary winds gave up and spoke, "How can you still be standing, oak?" The oak tree said, "I know that you can break each branch of mine in two, carry every leaf away, shake my limbs and make me sway. But I have roots stretched inside the earth, stronger growing every day since my birth. You'll never touch them, for you see, they are the deepest parts of me. Until today, I wasn't sure of just how much I can endure. But now I found, with thanks to you, I'm stronger than I ever knew." I wonder if God isn't wanting to give you something to prove to you how strong you are. And instead, we're buying the lie that he wants to hurt us, that he doesn't care, that he's not there. Have you ever wanted to believe? Because tonight, I believe he wants us to believe afresh and anew. And if that's you, without any fanfare, I want you to stand up tonight. If there's something in you that says, hey, that was for me tonight, I'm going through something, and I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm hearing that I can't do this. I want you to stand up, because I feel like there's an anointing in the Spirit that's coming tonight. And I feel like the wind of God is blowing past the darkness, and He is wanting to set you free in a way that you've never experienced. And I don't think I need a song, and I don't think I need an altar call. I think you need to stand up like you've already done and lift your hands and just begin to receive it. God, I'm calling out to you right now. Lord, for every lie I've believed, I'm trusting you right now, God. I claim your word where you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. I claim your word, God, that everything that was intended for evil, you'll turn it for good. I claim your word, God, that though there's sorrow, there's joy comes in the morning. I claim your word, God, that I have value, that I'm a masterpiece, that you created me, God, for good things and not for evil. I speak life right now, God, over these situations that I believed were hopeless. And I say to you, you belong to God, and He's greater than you. And I tell the darkness to go. And I believe right now, God, that over, Lord, even these young ones, God, that you're bringing hope. God, that over the homes, Lord, where your Spirit goes, God, parents are going to turn, God, and serve you, Lord, and worship you, God, and know your goodness. And God, where there's been anger and bitterness and short tempers and harsh words, God, I pray right now for healing that only you can bring, God. Lord, I'm looking to you tonight. Begin to call out to Him. Jesus, redeem me. Redeem this mess. I can do all things, Lord. You are greater, God. I speak to the life inside of me. Spirit of God that is deposited in me that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Raise up. Raise up within me that I will overcome these grave clothes and break them off and be set free to walk out free tonight, God, from this place and this tomb. Thank you, God, tonight. Lord, we thank you right now, God, for power. Power, God, that only you can give, Jesus. Power, Lord, that's only made because of your great love. Power, Lord, that isn't limited to who I say. But power, oh God, that wants to touch everyone in this world. Lord, let the anointing of God begin to flow right now. You're being changed right now. Those bonds are being broken off of you. Chains in your mind are coming undone, and things are starting to click in your mind. You're beginning to hear the voice of God. I speak now over your pillow tonight. You're going to rest. You're going to have the sweet rest of God. You're not going to see somebody else's face for the reason why you can't have what God said, because no man and no thing is greater than God. And I affirm that in my life tonight, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that the people in this room are going to be debt-free. They're going to be blessed in abundance. They're going to be mighty warriors and workers for your kingdom, God, because we hear the clock ticking, Lord, but we have said, Lord, I didn't ask for this. Instead, I say, I'm asking for it, God. Send me that which I need to believe and grow. And give me, God, your love and your mercy to endure the things that are coming, Lord. And God, I just want to thank you tonight, because you never give me something that will destroy me, but you give me the things, God, that will cause me to grow and mature and to bring somebody else out of the ditch with me. Thank you, God, right now. We just thank you, Lord, for your word, God. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Oh, God, we're grateful tonight. We're grateful, Lord, for these children in the nursery, God. We're grateful for the care of Cindy. We're grateful tonight, Lord, for the children, God, that Glenn and Shelley are ministering to. We're grateful, God, for the children, yes, children, that Aaron and Emily are ministering to tonight, God. Lord, don't let us leave them open, but let us stay. Let them stay, God, in the covering, God, of you that we have. And Lord, for those kids that don't have a covering, we in this room lift up our hands and say, yes, they do. We cover them tonight, Lord. Move in the lives, God, of our young people, God. Raise up the standard of your people, oh God, that you have in line. God, the next people in line to be leaders, God, in our world. Raise them up in your care, God. Deliver us from evil tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. 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 Now, the best thing I can tell you to do is get those notes. You take those scriptures. You start working on those scriptures. If your kid or your friend or your neighbor or your coworker has a problem, well, you know, I just read this last night. Let me just share it with you, right? Just share it with them, and you're going to see. You're going to lift the standard over where you are, and you will excel. Amen? Amen. Now, listen, I know that see you at the polls coming up, and the youth and children's pastor, we were just sharing today at staff meeting that they can't get any of the kids to want to go. Well, let me just tell you, right now, those kids that are up there with Aaron, they're not adults. You still need to tell them what to do. Because raise your hand if you still don't need somebody to tell you what to do. Quit treating 16 and 18-year-olds like they're adults. They're in your care for a reason. And I want you to know, Mom and Dad, you may have to get up an hour earlier. Shelly is actually thinking about asking kids to take them out and pick them up and take them to breakfast to get them to go. And I'm like, no, no. Guys, we can raise up and show the standard that we care. While the opportunity's here, let's go on our school grounds and pray. All right? Get involved. Love on somebody. Amen? I'm done. Love you.